Hi, you've reached Kwame.
And Christy.
And we're from I'd Rather Not Podcast. Leave a message.
Hey, I'm calling you back. Ooh, she's been a bitch tonight.
And by bitch, I mean Miss Rain. No cab, nowhere.
So I had to put on the wigs and the heels and the lashes and the ear and take the train to the club. And you know the MTA should stand for motherfuckers touching my ass.
So then I get to the club, looking like a drowned, harassed rat, and am greeted, not by Miss Rose at the door, but our friend Johnny 5-0. Yes, honey, the NYPD shut down the party. So no fee for me. I don't even know what's the key.
What's going on, homos, queers, and all those cheers? We are back with another episode of I'd Rather Not. I'm your host, Kwame.
Yep.
Joined by the queen, the beautiful, the makeup official.
Emerald City girl, the queen of the Emerald City.
Yes, well, ma'am.
At least I think so.
Miss Christy Champagne, how are you, ma'am?
I'm good. How are you, boo?
You know, gayer than ever, as usual.
Gayer than ever? That's surprising. Really? Wow. You're pretty gay. You were pretty gay already.
I
That's
mean,
crazy.
You know, I didn't know I can go that much further.
There you go.
Yes. But yes, how are you? How you been?
I'm good. I've been a little busy, lots of stuff going on, but you know, had to make some time to call you and see what was up and catch up. It's been a couple of days, actually,
yes.
Which is weird.
It is. Shame on me.
That's not normal for us. But it's
not.
It's been good.
But You know what's good? I think it's because I've been super busy with the network because, you know, ratings and things. So lots of good things for the show and all the other shows on Pirate Media Network. So been a busy gal.
Right. Got to be professional.
Yes,
and it's funny you said that because... you know, we've been having so much fun with the podcast that I have been, like, for the first time in a very, very long time, been listening to, like, a lot of other podcasts and, like, try to find, like, you know, other podcasts to listen to and, like, support other, like, other people's podcasts. And
yes.
I've been finding some really fun ones. So anybody listening, go out and find not only the stuff on Pyro Media Network, but lots of other podcasts. Support podcasters because it's really fun, and it's a fun outlet to get to, like, you know, to get to express ourselves. So
yeah, yes, express yourself. So you had to gay everything up today. But it's okay. Funny you said that. I actually heard a podcast recently that, like, literally brought me to tears. Like, I was like, and not to put it down or anything, but it was more of a kind of a, like, a release of. I connected really well with the show and
right.
with this particular episode in particular. First of all, if you haven't heard the show is called Our Americana.
Yes.
And first of all, the host on the show, his name is Josh Homework, and he has this weird, soothing, like, it doesn't matter what happens, what you're doing, how pissed off you are, what's going on during the day, you put on Our Americana and it is you will be instantly in zen mode.
Yes. Like,
he has this calming tone to his voice, and I'm just like, you know what I mean? So it just so happened this particular day I was like, oh, you know, I'm getting pissed off by the people that are around me because I was at work, go figure,
right?
And so I was like, let me, you know, go into my zen mode, and I couldn't find a podcast, and I was just like, I'm getting pissed off because I already ran through all of my list of regular shows that I listened to. And
right.
It just so happened that I saw a notification that Our Americana had a new episode, and I was like, yes, perfect, exactly what I need. The universe is aligning, we're listening,
right.
All good.
So, God bless the notification.
Yes, and I'm not going to jail because I don't have to hurt anybody because I'm listening to Josh.
Right.
So I go ahead and start listening to it, and I've listened to his show before, and
right.
It is, first of all, I feel like I'm going on like a a United States trip, because that's basically what the premise of the show is. And he's going to different areas, and you know, you're learning about the culture of that particular area and that particular state. So I thought it was going to be another one like this, but this one was like a deep dive into a personal situation with him. So,
well, you know what's funny, Kwame, is you're talking about this podcast to me like I've never listened, and it's actually one of the podcasts I've been listening to for the past couple of days.
Shut up.
No, I'm completely serious. I'm completely serious.
Hold on. I think somebody's calling in. Hold on 1 second.
Hey there.
Perfect timing. So, welcome to our show. For all those who don't know, I would like to welcome Josh Hallmark onto the show.
Yeah, it's funny. My ears were ringing, or I guess in the gay world, my taint was being tickled.
Nice. And
I could just tell that someone was talking about me.
Well, you know, we have that effect.
if I had a quarter for every time I heard that, I would have 50 cents.
So, Josh, I'm glad you actually called in, because I have to talk to you about this particular episode. It was the Austin, Texas episode, if I'm not mistaken.
Austin, Indiana. Excuse me. Not mistaken for Austin, Texas.
Yes. Good point, because there are differences. So, Austin, Indiana. And I don't want to, like, I mean, I've already started talking a little bit about it, but I really want you to kind of express and talk about, first of all, like, wow, and congratulations on that episode, because it shook the very fabric of my core, personally.
Right. I agree. I totally agree.
Yes. So tell me a little bit more about, first of all, where the courage came from, because, I mean, that was a brave episode. I don't know if I could personally be that open, you know what I mean? And where, like, what made you decide to, of all places, Austin, Indiana, what triggered that moment for you?
Well, I guess, you know, so sharing my story just happened organically. You know, I've always wanted to do it because I thought it was an important story to tell, and it's not a story you hear a lot about, which I think is to the greater detriment of not only the gay culture, but male victims of sexual violence and assault. So it's something that I wanted to share. I just didn't think it had a place on my show. So I had considered maybe shopping it around to some other podcasts that were more, personal interest or diary style shows. And then I ended up doing a story on Austin, Indiana, just because I thought it was important to talk about. So long story short, it's this rural, like 99% white town in Indiana, about an hour north of Louisville, Kentucky, and it has a sub-Saharan rate of HIV. I think it's about 6% of the town is HIV positive. Mm-hmm. And it happened largely or almost holistically from a drug epidemic that was going on there with, you know, obviously needles.
Right.
And what happened, which was really fucked, and spoiler alert, it happened while our great VP Mike Pence was the governor of the state of Indiana, the great great state of Indiana.
Shocker.
Shocker. It was basically ignored. Like, this huge drug epidemic, which turned into an HIV crisis, was pretty Reaganized by Mike Pence. And eventually, it took an 18-year-old girl to be like, hey, what's going on here? Isn't cool? And she, this high school kid, alerted the media, and the media all came out and really kind of held the local government to the fire and made them accountable. And it just was this weird coalescence of, it's a very Christian community, so like the church and these, you know, marginalized, poor drug addicts and this Republican-heavy government all kind of coming in and trying to decide how to fix a problem or how to ignore a problem. And it was a big news sweep for about 6 months, and then the news moved on to something else, but nothing really changed in the town. And so, being HIV positive, I thought it was really important to cover that. And then as I was covering it, I realized it would be really disingenuous not to share my story. I kind of found myself like, my story isn't really on brand per se, but I feel like a, like a liar if I'm talking about HIV in this way and not sharing my story. So I just kind of found myself in bed on a microphone, basically just kind of talking into the microphone, and it was a real emotional enema. But I think I've received a lot of really positive emails from listeners who have either been raped or had drug problems or are HIV positive, and so that to me made it worthwhile. And it was an exhausting day recording that, but I think it's putting some good out into the world.
Well, that's what I loved about it. I was just, when I was listening, and I have to give you kudos for being so incredibly brave to share, because I know that there's a lot of people out there that don't share their similar stories to yours, and it's just I have to say thank you. I mean, I've never been in a situation even remotely close to that, but to hear someone being so true to themselves and brave is really inspiring, and like made me want to do whatever I could to, you know, help somebody who might be in that same situation, or somebody in my life who maybe is HIV positive and needs, you know, somebody to be brave for them. So I just have to say, as the listener, thank you for being incredibly brave and sharing all of that entire story with the world and your listeners. Like, it was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, like, one of my philosophies in podcasting, well, in life, but that I've brought into podcasting, is the more we talk about stuff, the less stigmatizing it becomes. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important that if something makes you uncomfortable, or there's a topic that you're not hearing a lot about, that you encounter it and kind of go through it. And so I think, particularly in this case, you know, when I was raped, I started looking for like books, because I'm not really, when it comes to my own life, a big talker about emotional stuff. So I was like, I just want to like find a book that will make me feel better about this.
Right.
And there weren't any. There are at the time there were literally, I think, like four books that were or mentioned male victims of rape. And I just like, as I've healed and, you know, become a stronger, better person, I just realized how fucked that is. And so we can cuss on this, right?
Absolutely.
And so I was like, we need to be talking about this, because we're not really talking about it, and it's happening, and people, like, there's all these weird like gender roles when it comes to rape, and like, you know, if you're a man, it means you're weak, and I just like, it's such bullshit, and we need to talk about it, or else people are going to start feeling like that bullshit is the reality.
Right. And just to kind of piggyback on what Chris, you were saying, is I have to tell you, I was beyond crippled, like emotionally and physically crippled when I was listening to it. Because again, like I said, I was, you know, in my office, and I was like I closed my door, and I'm like, you know, to my office or whatever. I'm like, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to tune everybody out. I'm going to do work, and I'm going to listen to this awesome podcast, because Josh keeps me in Zen mode, and I'm not going to cuss anybody out. And so I'm going through it, and I'm typing away, and I'm like, you know, when you're pissed off, you type really hard. And so I'm like, just cramming that keyboard, and then I'm listening, and I'm slowly like relaxing, and I'm hearing Josh, and I'm like, Chris relaxing, and I'm like, and then slowly he starts going into the story about, you know, and I freeze, and I'm just like, oh, and then like, it made me uncomfortable, but in a good way. It was like you were saying, you know, people get into uncomfortable situations and they don't want to talk about it, and it becomes, that uncomfortableness becomes the norm of just ignoring it. And I didn't want to turn it off, because I felt like even, you know, with my own personal relations to this particular story, like, I still have trouble, like, you know, talking about or having, you know, or dealing with it. And so the norm is to just ignore it. And so I felt, number one, honored to be able to listen to your story, and be able to connect with you in that way, but also thank you for like forcing us to do it. And I think that that's something that people don't understand, that it's not, especially when it comes with males, it's not an easy topic to talk about. And I think that it is something I was in tears, and my boss came in and was like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "I'm fine. Everything's fine. Just get out.
10-minute break. I gotta go have a cigarette.
I need to go." it wasn't like, and I don't want to give the wrong impression. It wasn't like a somber situation. I don't know how to explain the emotional cleansing that I went through when I listened. Like you said, it was more of like an emotional enema for you when you were talking, when you were recording it. For me, it was listening to it as a listener, it was just cleansing. It was something that, you know how like you just need a good cry? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you are just frustrated with the world and, you know, everything's going on, whatever's going on in your life, whatever is that big problem for you in that life, in your life at that moment, whether it's like a car trouble or, you know, I don't know what to wear today, it's for work, whatever the situation, whatever's that big major problem for you. It was nice to hear somebody going through something and you connecting with that and saying that, number one, you're not alone. And number two, whatever you're worried about right now, like whatever clothing you're trying to figure out what to wear, whatever problems you're having at work, whatever, you know, issues you're having, you know, with relations or people, whatever the situation is, there's something bigger, you know, and mm-hmm. there are people that are going through situations that are much bigger. And it also, to kind of bring it into the whole situation where, just the fact that it was in, you know, Austin, Indiana, me being, you know, from New York and then also like, you know, moving to the West Coast, you know, and just kind of having those, you know, be my world. We do have this type of, you know, cultural kind of bubble that we're in, you know, and a lot of people, you know, the right calls it, you know, elitism, you know, coastal elites and all the stuff or whatever. But there is a bubble that we all put ourselves in, you know, to kind of keep ourselves safe or whatever, for whatever the reason is. And so like to know that situations like that were going on in a rural place that you think that wouldn't have those type of situations or issues, was also reassuring, because it's like, okay, we're all, regardless of our political views, regardless of where we come from, we all can connect on some type of level at some point in time. And that was a tough pill to swallow for me, because I, especially with, you know, this current administration, it's hard to kind of find that connection with those hard right people, you know what I'm saying? So, it is, you did such a phenomenal job in articulating yourself, in expressing yourself. And for me, one of my main questions for you is how, was there any preparation for it? Like, how did that feel? Number one, prepping for that particular episode, and what was the post ramifications of it all?
You know, it was something. So I, because Our Americana, like from a, you know, an episode's production usually takes about 4 weeks, and I knew that Austin, the story was way bigger than an hour, so I knew it was going to be a few episodes, like a few parts. And I think once I'd finished that, the first part of that, I knew I was going to have to share my story. And so then I really procrastinated. I try to do an episode a week. And so like a week after the first episode was released, I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be doing that episode today, and I don't have it in me. And then the next week, I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be doing that episode, and I don't know if I have it in me. And then it was just a matter of, like, I need to get paid. And since I get paid per episode, I had to just kind of knock it out. And so I sat down and just started writing. And I basically wrote it in, I don't know, like an hour and a half, and then recorded it in one take, which never happens. Mm-hmm. So that was just weird. Like, that made me feel like, okay, I'm supposed to be doing this. And then I put it out there, and, you know, I knew when I was putting it out that there were ramifications that I wasn't even considering. And I just, like, I was just like, whatever, like, I just have to put it out, and they will rear their heads when they need to, and I'll deal with it then. And, but I don't think I realized that it was going to create a level of, responsibility that I hadn't anticipated, which is that I would be hearing from people. And there's, I know you know that I'm obsessed with The Real Housewives, and
let's clarify, we all are obsessed with that.
Carol Radziwill from the New York franchise is famous for being a widow, and she talks about how her husband died 10 years ago, and every now and again she has to like slip back into widow mode to take care of someone else who's approaching her to talk about her own journeys. And I don't think I was prepared to really go back into like rape victim mode or, you know, rape survivor mode. And then all of a sudden I was getting all these emails. You know, you were the first person to actually reach out to me, Kwame, and I was like, oh, that's so amazing. I kind of just felt like I thought I was probably going to be, you know, talking into the void. And I was so happy when I heard from you. And then I just started hearing from more and more people saying, you know, I've been through a trauma and I relate to what you said. And I wasn't prepared to like put on my victim hat again and like talk to them about it in a way that was responsible. Because I think when you put stuff out into the world and you are, I don't know how to describe myself without sounding like too humble or like a dick, but like when you have a platform and you have people who, you know, listen to you or follow that platform,
when
you put stuff out in the, I guess so. Yeah. That sounds a little gauche, but sure. I think you don't realize that when you put stuff out into the world, you're suddenly responsible for how people are going to respond to that. And mm-hmm. So I found myself like having to like email these people back, and I feel for them, and I love that they're reaching out to me, and I love that they're finding solace in it. But that was what took me by surprise, was having to go into like victim mode again, or survivor mode, because I think victims are a shitty way to describe anyone who's been through a trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, my question is like, I have a lot of people in my life that have been in your kind of similar situation, and I always find myself not really knowing like what to say or what to do to like, besides just basically being their friend. Would you have any recommendation for anybody who's listening that may have already gone through this situation or knows somebody who's going through a similar situation? What would you recommend to that person to do or to say, or any kind of advice?
Good question.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you ask that, because I think that's what I learned from this experience, because I had people come to me in the past, and I'm very solution based. I don't like talking about something unless like there's going to like, unless there's a purpose to having the conversation. And so people would say like, oh, I was raped, and I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I'm not a nurturing person. Like, I can be like, well, here's the pragmatic things you can do, but I'm not a nurturing person. And so I think I learned from this to be a little more nurturing and how to take care of people, as opposed to like telling them what they should do, which they already know, you know? I think just first and foremost, and I touched on it, but like, we have this shitty response to rape culture, which is we don't want to believe that it exists.
Right.
And everyone I've ever spoken to who has been a victim of sexual assault has said that about 50% of the people they told didn't believe them. And it's fucked. It's fucked. And you know,
I would never not believe somebody who told me that they were raped. I would never know. I have the hardest time understanding that percentage, because I would never, even my enemies, even the people I dislike in the world the most, if they came to me and were like, this happened to me, I would never not believe them. Like, it's horrible.
Well, what I've learned is I've thought a lot about this over like years. It has nothing to do with the person who's been raped. It's our own bullshit. We don't want to live in a world where this happens so frequently that we know people who have been raped, so we'd rather just assume that they're lying or making it up.
Right.
And
right.
That's the only way I can reconcile those statistics, and I think it makes sense. So I think first and foremost, believe them. And if you don't believe them, like, that's your own garbage, and you need to deal with that. But then secondly, just listen and, you know, be pragmatic, but also realize that, like, pragmatic advice is apparent advice. Like, you don't need to tell someone they should call a shelter because they know they should call a shelter. Like, you don't need to tell right. someone they should call the police because they know that. Just yeah. listen and just, like, like, another Real Housewives quote that I love, which is, like, articulate your suffering in a way that emancipates you and empowers others. So if someone's coming to you with a trauma, like, use your own trauma, even if it's not the same, or even if it feels minuscule, to show that you can at least empathize with what they're going through.
Right. So true.
And just to piggyback onto what you're saying, Josh, because those are amazing things, and I think that, you know, just to go back to what you were saying in regards to why people tend not to believe those type of situations, and I think also if they say they believe it, or if they say that it exists, then it automatically enters their world. It automatically becomes closer to them, and so it becomes a reality, and that's something that they would have to deal with, and that's in and of itself scary for people. That in and of itself is something that people can't really handle, because then there's a name to it, there's a face to it, there's, you know, a relation to it. And I think that in and of itself is even more prevalent in men, because of the fact that, number one, men are not supposed to be quote unquote weak. Men are not supposed to have those type of situations happen to them. Men are supposed to be the protectors, the warriors and the fighters and all that stuff, whatever. And so I think that when it does happen to somebody, to a man, you know, there's so much that goes into that, you know, just mentally, just trying to figure out, like, oh my God, like, this happened. What do I do? I can't tell anybody. You know what I'm saying? And then already seeing what women go through when, you know, a situation like that happens, when they victim shame them, men are like, I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? That's not even an option. You know what I'm saying? And that in and yeah. of itself is scary, because then we're losing so many the chance to be able to kind of protect men from those situations. Because the reason why why it's becoming so more relevant now, why we're having, you know, special victims units and specific counselors and groups and stuff like that, is because women are coming out more and more about it. You know what I'm saying? They are exposing sexual harassers about the different things. They are exposing rapists, you know, for what they're doing. And as brave as they are, they still have to go through this tough road. And men, 9 times out of 10, don't want to do that. You know what I mean? So I think for me, my question would be, just to kind of, you know, get to this whole, like, full circle thing, is why our Americana? What made you say, okay, well, I need to share this story now, as opposed to creating a different show specifically about it, or putting it on another show? And I know that you mentioned that, you know, because of the situation that was going on with Austin, Indiana, but what kind of gave you that push? What made you say, yes, I'm going to do this, and yes, I'm going to talk about it? Because you didn't have to.
Yeah, I think it was a culmination of factors. I think it was just that it felt disingenuous not to, but also it just seemed like the right time. Mm-hmm. You know, I had been thinking that it was a story worth sharing, and you know, for people, I don't want to give too much of it away, because I think that a lot of interesting things happen in this episode, and I think that there's a lot of takeaways from it.
Yes.
You know, that's what I'm most proud of, is there are many lessons in this, you know, 40 minutes of podcast. But it was in a sense part of the Our Americana world, because it's how a place and a time impacts your emotion and your personhood and storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was also just such a time to talk about. You know, America's pretty fucked right now, and yeah. I think we.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're aware.
if you've been living under a rock.
And I think that we, you know, what I've seen is we tend to go inward, or when we go outward, it's with our fists up. And so I think two separate things really felt timely. One was that we need to, instead of being angry, we need to start having conversations and find common ground amongst the people who are not like us. Mm. And so I thought that this was a great conversation, because, you know, we do talk about healthcare, and we talk about, you know, drug use, and we talk about a lot of issues that are plaguing America, regardless of who you voted for. There are issues that came up during the election. And so I thought this was a great way to have or start those conversations in a way that wasn't aggressive. And then I think secondly was, sorry, I lost my train of thought. It's well, okay. Let's just go with that. That's reason enough.
Right. Completely. I loved when I was, because I know Kwame said he listened to this episode at work and angry at his keyboard. I was like, actually had came home from performing in my show and was like completely exhausted. And I had started listening to the episode when I was sitting at my makeup station putting on my mug for the show. And I got about 2 minutes in and I literally was like, I am not going to be able to work today if I keep listening to this. I'm going to need to go home. And I went home and I sat in my comfy chair in my living room in the complete dark with my headphones in and was like, I almost felt, it felt like I was watching a movie. Like, and I have to say, like, I loved just the way you were telling the story. It felt like I was watching a movie. And I think you just a second ago said, like, there were so many lessons and so many different, like, aspects and layers to that episode. Like, and I just, I don't know, I loved it. I thought it was great. My favorite thing was when you were talking about the little boy across the street with the cheeseburger.
Yes.
And I just remember thinking, like, I just remember seeing it like it was a movie, like it was some sort of James Cameron movie, like with, you know, music playing. And it just, it was really, I loved it. And I feel like from my perspective as like a drag queen, like we try to find the funny and the lightheartedness in any kind of situation, especially serious situations. So I have to, you know, I have to say kudos for, you know, being able to take such a serious topic and such a serious thing that happened to you and like putting your stamp on it and putting some lightheartedness and the storytelling of the whole entire thing. It was really fun to listen to. I loved it.
And just to piggyback,
well, that's actually,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Josh.
Oh, well, and that's actually the train of thought that fell away from, which is, I think when you find yourself in these positions where you are hurt or angered or depressed or feel oppressed, I think the important thing that you should do is look for the thing that's bigger than yourself. And so I think that was kind of I would like to say the major takeaway, which is, you know, I was going through all these terrible things and felt like nothing worse could happen to anybody. And then I found myself in Cambodia surrounded by people who were in positions far worse than mine. Particularly children. And that kind of humbled me and really made me put things into perspective and be like, if these kids who don't stand a chance in this world can be smiling and gracious and forgiving and welcoming and kind, then like, I don't get to sit around feeling sorry for myself.
Absolutely.
Yes. And I was just going to just piggyback onto what Chrissy said earlier in regards to, and this is one of the reasons why I fucking love Our Americana, is because it's the way he expresses the story. It's like the way he's telling the story. It is like this whole complete like thing all in his voice. And it's like,
don't put your day job, Kwame.
Right, all in his voice. And it's like, but what's really cool about it is that like I actually listened to it, and it's funny, I was laughing when Chrissy said that she went home and she like was in a room in you know, the living room and listening to it in the dark, because I listened to it. I've listened to this episode too many times, actually. But one of the times that I listened to it, I was at home and it was still early in the morning, and I was just getting up for work, and actually called out that day. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Anyway, hopefully my boss is not listening to this episode.
You're getting fired. You better be careful.
I know, right? It's like, but I was sick. Okay, but anyway, the point of the matter is that I had gotten up and I had, you know, I usually like start making my tea or whatever, and I sit in, you know, the kind of the nook in the kitchen nook or whatever, and I listened to the episode again. And it was completely different, like, you know, just being away from people. And I was already in my office when I heard it the first time. But this time it was like sensory deprivation, and just like all in. And I was like, it really does feel, the way you tell stories, Josh, is uncanny. So kudos to you, number one, for like doing an amazing job at telling the story, and being so emotionally like invested into it, because you can tell you put in a lot of work as a podcaster, to another podcaster, bravo. And also to you just being brave enough to just tell this story, it really touched me, and I know it touched a lot of other people, because I've seen it on your Twitter and all this stuff. So congratulations on doing an amazing job, and I really want you guys to make sure you guys listen to Our Americana. It is the Austin, Indiana episode, the one that we're talking about today. But listen to all of them, because it's fucking awesome. Just don't listen to how you drive, because it feels like
right. I was just going to say the same thing. Don't be driving, and don't be operating any heavy machinery.
Right. You might be too relaxed. That might be
okay. Good. So I have a question before we go, Josh. Since we were talking about The Real Housewives and how we are all obsessed, I want to know, and I'm sure you have thought of this. What
I've been waiting for you to talk about the things that really matter.
The real bones is, let's talk about The Real Housewives. I want to know, what would your Real Housewife tagline be?
Ooh, good question.
Booyah.
What would it be, Josh?
I may be a drunk, but I'm still smarter than you bitches.
Yes!
Oh my God, that's so pretty.
I think that.
I'm pretty sure mine would be, I'm not a drag queen, I'm the drag queen.
Oh, I like that. I do. You made it sound like that just like came to you, but I feel like you've been practicing that for a while.
I might have been thinking about this since the very first season of The Real Housewives. Like, one day this will come in handy. I need to know what this is going to be.
Save it for the books.
Completely. Like,
control and save.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Seattle. Like,
yeah. Oh, my God. Don't say that, because it will bring that into fruition, girl. Can you imagine, like, a Seattle Housewives?
No, I don't. No. There's a lot of places that we don't need to see their Housewives.
Rich hippie girl.
Like, housewife who works at Starbucks and right? You know, smokes pot all day long. Like, yeah, it's not a thing. It's not a thing, no.
Josh, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We have to have you on again.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I had a blast.
Yes. Well, yes, so definitely give us a call again, and we will be back with a break. You want to take a break, Christy?
Well, let's do it. Go for it. Bring on the commercial. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Yes, we'll be back. Hey, guys. This episode is brought to you by Pyro Media Network. Pyro Media Network is a progressive moving platform to give a voice to those who feel don't have one. Social injustice, equality concerns, and more are just a few reasons why PMN is needed. For more information about Pyro Media Network, please visit pyromedianetwork.com.
Yes, we are back, and you're listening to I'd Rather Not Podcast. It's me, Christy Champagne, and my boy Kwame. Kwame, that was so much fun.
That was. Josh is such an excellent spirit. He's a really good person.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And I know we've probably said it a dozen times in the interview and before, but like, if you're listening to our podcast for the first time, if you are listening, go and look up my Americana podcast, because it is truly, truly phenomenal, and trust me, you're gonna get addicted. I can guarantee.
Yeah, and right? Just correction, Our Americana.
Oh my God! See,
and we'll have links about on it or whatever. But Josh Hallmark is a dope dude. He's real cool people. I was very fortunate enough to meet him sooner. We actually interviewed him earlier on Blaze Entertainment's Spotlight Edition months ago, I believe. And then he did this episode, and I thought like, oh yeah, we need to get him on the show. He's awesome.
Yeah. When you guys are listening and you're gonna go and listen to this podcast, which you better, mm-hmm. or else you're gonna have an angry drag queen knocking on your front door.
Oh god.
And you don't want that. You don't want that at all whatsoever. You're just gonna be blown away. And I feel like I don't think we really got a chance to, because I wanted him to be able to share his thoughts, and I didn't wanna like I didn't want to overtake the conversation, but it's like, well, I remember listening to it for the first time, and then I listened to it again, and then I probably listened to it about four more times more. Mm-hmm. And every time I listened, I felt like it took something different away.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I remember taking away is like, reminding myself, like, if this person can be in this horrible situation and be so brave and so, you know, courageous, then I can do the same thing in the things that are going on in my life.
Right.
You know, like I can be brave. You know, I've never been in either of those situations that he's ever been in, but like, I can think of things that are related and think to myself, I should have been braver. I should have been brave like Josh. I should have told my story, that kind of deal. So that was just, for our very first guest, I would so rather.
Yes. Yeah, he was awesome people. And I think it also, like, even though, like, our show is, like, lighthearted, you know, and fun, and, like, we kind of try to keep it upbeat and not talk about serious topics or whatever, but, like, this was, I thought, was an appropriate topic for, you know, just kind of understanding, you know, those type of situations and coming from, you know, a gay male perspective, because, like, it is hard. Yeah. and those type, yeah, of topics are ignored and or not talked about. Yeah. So I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, and it's like I was saying before, like, I find hard times relating, but it's like, I think what people need to understand is somebody who's been in that situation, especially a gay man, you know, because if that's what our show is about, like, that's our perspective. Like, just because you've been, you know, sexually abused doesn't mean that you're weak. And I think that, like, it just, I don't know, it's difficult because, like, I feel like, especially me as a queen, like, there's been times where I've been at the bar or I've been out and about and I've been all dressed up in the geesh and I'm, you know, looking to the nines, you know, dolled up, wig to heavens. And guys will, straight guys especially, sometimes will be inappropriate with you because, mm-hmm, not one, you're dressed up and, you know, they think it's funny, you know, whatever it may be. But then on top of that, you have that whole nother layer of, like, underneath all of this drag, I'm a gay man,
right.
So it's almost like I kind of can empathize from both situations, because whether you be a woman who's in that position or a man who's in that position or a gay man, it's like, you know, we're all going through the same thing. Just,
right,
because I'm straight or just because I'm gay doesn't mean that I don't know how you feel.
Right.
You know?
Right. What a great episode. This was fun. This was a good one.
Cleansing the soul, honey. Cleansing,
yes,
the soul.
Yes. Gotta get a little...
What do you call it? An emotional enema,
I think. Yeah, right.
I'm like, girl, I might need to go take a 10-minute break and go do myself an emotional enema.
Okay. A little spiritual colonic, if you will.
For real? I feel so thin and light. Yeah.
Yes. Come on, yeah.
Like, if I have an emotional enema, am I gonna lose some weight?
Right.
Like, what's going on here?
What's the perks?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you guys for listening to yet another episode of I'd Rather Not Podcast. Yeah. It is always, yeah, fun hanging out with my girl Chrissy Shanae.
Mm-hmm.
Girl.
Yeah.
So
we love all of you. We love, yes, all of you.
And we have some good, hopefully when this episode airs, we may have the good news launch, but well, I'm gonna hold that off until it does. But stay tuned for that good news on powermedianetwork.com, or you can go to our social media networks or social medias on Twitter. We are at PyroMediaNet, and on Facebook, yeah, we are at PyroMedia, or Facebook @PyroMedia. Matt.
Yes. And remember this one thing: when the haters got you down, you just tell them, I'd rather not.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye.
Oh, what a wonderful Kiki.